Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I just want to start by saying I am so proud of myself because I remembered what day it is, despite all the chaos that's been going on in my world. So I'm actually here, unlike last week, where I discovered what day it was after Patrice sent me a message wondering where I was.
Jeff, do you know what time it is?
Does anyone really care?
No, the right answer is tool time.
Oh, tool time. That's right. Oh, I'd forgotten all about that.
Wait, okay. Yeah. Maybe we should do a rewatch of that show.
I don't know if I saw every episode, but I definitely saw a lot of episodes from that show.
I think I've rewatched them like 3 times a year or something. So it's one of my absolute all time ever favorite shows.
Are you talking about the Tim
yes.
Allen?
Yeah, Home Improvement, yeah. Tim Allen show.
Home Improvement.
Yeah, just right. Seeing the kids grow up, like that alone was really special.
And I like that they never ended the joke with a neighbor over the fence.
Yes. No, that's not true. Until the very, 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 very end. In the final scene of the final episode, after they had done recording the episode to get the special thing where all the people come out, and that is the point where he reveals his face, I think.
Oh, wow.
Either that or a special after. I don't even, might even be been after that. But like basically in a spell, they did it at some point in a after the end, basically.
Yeah. Wow. All right. It's, I do know that when they would finish taping,
people would see him,
and the cast would all come out and bow.
Yeah.
He had a little hold up fence.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Earl Hindman.
Really?
I mean, he died like a long time ago, but Earl Hindman.
That's funny. Actor.
And it was a total accident. Like, how this even happened? This was not planned, the whole fence thing. It just happened that way, and people kind of clunked.
And so they ran with it.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, this is what we're doing now.
I love it when happy accidents like that happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, as long as we're here, hey Patrice, how's it going?
it's going well. I'm not gonna lie, it's been already a very long week. Back to work on Monday and not a lot of sleep. I've basically almost every night this week I've been up until like 2:30-ish. So, and then had to be back up at whatever, 8 or so for work. Well, today, today I didn't manage to do that. I woke up like 15 minutes before my first meeting. And I'm like, crap, I have to get ready. So I was not awake or ready at meeting time.
Odds are you were not the only one.
I'm not so sure. But I mean, honestly, I've told them 9 a.m. is not a good time for a meeting with me anyway. Like, not today and never any time. Like, I am barely awake by whatever 11, to be honest. Physically there, mentally not awake yet.
Yeah, no, I get it. And if you let people know.
Oh, they know.
And yet they still schedule, that's on them.
Exactly.
Absolutely, it's
that
on
is,
them.
Right. Yeah. So
the easiest way to get on my shit list when I was working was schedule an 8 o'clock meeting if you're in the same time zone as me.
Yes.
You know, if you,
mm-hmm. if I would not attend.
If you're in Germany and you schedule a meeting at 8 a.m. California time, no problem. I get it.
Okay. Yeah.
But if you're in the same office as me and you schedule an 8 o'clock meeting, I'm going to be unhappy.
No, even if you're in Germany. That would have mattered for me. No, because I have a blocker in my calendar, and if you can't look at that and say, huh, must be that Patrice is not available at that time, and you schedule it anyway, then that's your problem and not mine.
Mm-hmm.
That presupposes some people pay attention to the fact that you're blocking the calendar and they still try to
Yes,
schedule it anyway.
pretty much. That's exactly it.
Yep. Once again, that's on them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey Tom, how's it going for you?
It's going okay. Just before Christmas, I did a number on my knee and found out the other day that I tore my meniscus, which isn't a huge problem. It's not great.
It's not great.
And so now I'm in the queue to see a doctor and get a surgery scheduled. So there's that. Could be worse. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But it's a pain in the ass. I have to wear a brace and hobble around. So I'm kind of a gimp.
Probably also pain in the knee.
It's mostly a pain in the knee. That's
Might
true.
radiate up. You never know. I mean, good
That's
thing you're
true.
retired. At least you don't have to go to an office.
I've been thinking about that, how much easier it is. Yeah, it could have been much worse. But I do have an update from a cool thing. So a few weeks ago, the cool thing was a guy online posted how these little electronic tea lights, the way they make them flicker is by putting a sound music chip inside, like the ones that you get in greeting cards.
I
And
remember
that if you
that.
disassemble it and wire up a set of headphones, you could hear what music was playing. So I took one of my wife's electronic tea lights and sat down and disassembled it the other day and hooked up the headphones, and all I got was groosh, 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 groosh. So I looked at it more closely and found that
Techno house.
there was nothing but passive components in there with, just resistors and a resistor and a capacitor. So I think all it does is generate like a sine wave or square wave or something. So it doesn't actually have a music
That's
chip in.
disappointing.
Yeah, I did all the work to get this stupid thing open and wire up some
Well,
headphones.
or alternatively, this is slow metal, and you just don't
It is
appreciate it.
very
Low metal.
slow metal.
And you
It's
just
like a
don't.
guy on a bass guitar just
Yes.
rubbing the strings.
Exactly. So maybe you're just not appreciative of that.
So, but anyway, buyer beware. Get the right kind of electronic tea light.
Well, I mean, it's still fun to figure that out. I mean, it's like, yeah, sure, you didn't get the music you wanted, but it's still fun to then figure out why and like all of that. So, yeah.
I kept having to explain to my wife. She kept saying, "So what is it you're doing with that tea light?" I said,
I'm
"I'm
gonna
looking at,
listen to the candle.
I'm gonna listen to the
Listen to,
candle."
but you know, if you, what was it? If you realize the candlelight is fire, the meal has co been cooked a long time ago, something like
Yeah, I should have known. Oh, I should have remembered that one.
that. All right. Well, I'm kind of disappointed. I was thinking it would be like something from Queen or the Gilligan's Island theme or something where you'd listen to it and you'd be like, "All right, whoever put this together, they had a good
Clearly
sense of
didn't know
humor."
anything. No.
I was expecting, like the Happy Birthday song or something, since they were using the chips that were used for greeting cards. But anyway, I'll keep hunting. Every time I go to a store, I'm gonna buy the electronic tea lights and just keep disassembling them until I find the song I like.
If you get a bunch of them and they all have different repeating tones, you could put them together so that you have
A
your
mashup.
own like little synthesizer thing
Yeah, it's
when you
like those
play.
people. It's like those people who use like floppy disk drives and like other stuff to make
Make
music.
music out of them.
Yeah.
So I can be the electronic tea light DJ.
Yes, there's an idea. This is that. That I mean, that's a
Tea light
YouTube
DJ.
video. Like that's a YouTube video. Like probably multiple.
So you're
This
a
is gonna go
DJ, Tom.
viral.
Yeah, I am a DJ. Where do you get your samples from? Tea lights.
Hey, I mean, that is actually a good question. If you bought the tea light, do you own like, can you
Oh.
play the song that's in there?
Well, I signed the end user license agreement or terms of service, which when you buy the tea light, you have to sign the terms of service, I think, right?
Yeah, but I mean, could you use it actually? Could you use the song that's on there because you own it? You bought
Maybe
That's a
if
really good
it's
question.
Creative Commons, maybe.
I'm looking forward to this one going all the way to the Supreme Court.
Exactly. Me
Wait,
too.
you're here because you're making music from tea lights. I don't
No, you're
understand.
using music from tea lights.
No, the best thing would be the title of the case, Tea Light versus Tom.
Tea Light
Oh.
Entertainment versus
Tea Light Entertainment versus Tom.
There will be a ballad about this at some point in the future.
Oh, in California, 100%. I mean, there's enough substances all around that that's absolutely 100% going to happen.
And all the music for the ballad will come from the tones from Tea Light Chips.
And it will sound like heavy metal.
No,
It's going to
slow
be
metal.
epic. Slow metal, I
Slow
mean,
metal.
slow metal.
Tom is sticking it to the man. Ah, yeah. See, it's really catchy. Yeah. Hey, so it's the
How
big
are you
show.
there? How are you, Jeff?
I'm making up slow metal ballads about Tom. How do you think I'm doing?
Pretty bleak.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, what's the Norwegian saying? I'm upright and not crying. So I'll take that as a really good sign. Yeah. Sorry, I don't have anything fun or exciting to share. Other than my slow metal ballads about Tom. Which that's just I really think
So
that
many
album's
show
gonna go
titles I'm collecting right
viral. All right, well, let's see if we can come up with some more. Who has the first story?
Oh,
Oh boy.
story. Which one do I pick?
Stories?
Do
That
we
would
do
be
stories
Tom.
here? Okay, it's Tom. See,
Stories?
by the time I
We
have
don't
even
need the
decided which
stories.
one I want to get, he's already posted this. Okay.
Oh, all right, Tom. Tell us about how we're getting screwed over yet again.
Getting Screwed Over Edition, episode 64. So my story is about an insurance company in the U.S., Allstate, who is accused of paying app makers to get access to car driver data. And the basic scheme is they would contract with mobile app companies, give them an SDK that would allow them to plug in tracking information. And they would put this tracking code in apps like the ones they pointed out were things like Life360, Gas Buddy, Fuel Rewards. And they would collect all kinds of data, the geolocation data, accelerometer data, all the metadata around how fast you're going. Did you stop suddenly? Did you accelerate suddenly?
Did
All
you
that kind
play
of
slow
stuff.
metal from your
Did
tea
you play
lights?
slow metal? Were you listening to tea lights? And obviously this is a company that insures drivers, so that if they can attach all this data to people when you apply for insurance or when your insurance renews, they could say, hey, you know what? You're kind of a bad driver. You
Yes.
accelerate a lot, you speed a lot. We're not going to insure you, or we're going to charge a lot of money. And of course, this data wasn't necessarily connected to cars. It was on an app on a phone. So if you were riding the bullet train going 100 miles an hour, they didn't know.
Or
They
if you
just
have
knew you
a
were going.
passenger of a bad driver, for example, you also
If
wouldn't
you're a
know.
passenger.
Oh,
And
right.
there's part of the story, the version of the story I linked to was the register, because I love the registers. It can be funny. But they talk about a person who was on a roller coaster
Of course.
who had an interaction with Allstate. I don't know how true it is, but you can imagine. The app is just collecting data. It can't confirm you're actually in a car or driving a car. As you said, you could be a passenger. So obviously this is really bad data to be used by an insurance company. The only thing I don't really like about the story is it's the goofy attorney general from the state of Texas that's filed this lawsuit. He's
Of
not my
course.
favorite. He's not my favorite attorney general. But I think it's just a really good example of all the data that's collected on people that's used for really bad purposes.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you could argue either way, I think. I think ultimately I agree with you, but like for sake of the argument, like let's do the play the devil's advocate. And I mean, you could say if you really are or have a bad driver, someone applies and they accept it and then gets into a lot of accidents, who's going to pay for that? Everybody else, because they're not paying in that much. I mean, their premiums might go up a little bit, but overall, that's what insurances do. They kind of spread the load across all the people who have the policies, the policyholders, and the payments, and make some money on top of that for themselves as well. Like, that's part of the business, unfortunately. That's part of the problem, I think, with the whole insurance business, but it's a business. So letting in a bad driver means more cost for everybody else. And on average, that is what you see. I mean, that's why premiums sometimes get increased because you own a certain make or model, or because you are in a certain demographic, or in a certain region where more cars are stolen, all of that. Like, that's the reason for that, because they simply look at trends and then they say, well, higher risk means you have to pay more, right? That's the part of it, at least.
Sure.
So.
I just think it's this blatant sort of hoovering of all this data
Yes.
with a lot of inaccuracies is the problem. If those companies that give you the stick that you plug into your ODB and you can get lower insurance rates,
Yes.
but that is actually taking data
Real
off the
driving
car that
data.
you're driving, you signed up, you agreed to it. That's okay.
That's your
Yes, and
choice.
you're aware that they are collecting
Yeah,
your
you're
data.
aware of it.
I mean,
And the data is probably reasonably accurate.
I would say so. I mean, it still means that probably the insurance company is going to say, well, everybody else pays more because we don't know, right? The people who are safe drivers are now have this thing installed, so we keep them, and everybody else has to pay more because, well, we simply don't know, and they might be the risky people, right? So, as I said, there's always two sides to that coin. But I agree with you that blatant connection without even telling anybody, the inaccurate data that kind of maybe is also biased towards certain people that might, which might not be true. Like, just because you like roller coasters doesn't mean you're like a really bad driver. Like, maybe you just enjoy roller coasters. You just like to go there, or you like skiing. I mean, skiing is also one. Like, maybe you like skiing. It doesn't mean that you're a bad driver. Like, one is not necessarily connected to the other. But now the insurance company infers and then either charges you more or simply flat out refuses you. And
Yeah,
then
like you
that
say.
is a bad thing for people.
Yeah, like you say, in the old days, it was more based on demographics. If you're an 18-year-old kid driving a Corvette, your insurance rates are going to be really high.
Which was based on observations. They simply saw all the claims and like, okay, this is an expensive car, and 18-year-olds are not the best drivers. They're inexperienced and sometimes also still very reckless. They're not like full of grown-ups and all of that. So yeah,
Yeah,
okay,
and
demographic
here
makes sense.
they used to do it by zip code too, you know,
Yeah,
depending on where you
they do
live.
it. They think that's probably a global thing they hear as well. Like,
Age, gender, zip
yeah,
code, the
zip
kind of
code, like,
car
is
you're
it an
driving.
which in itself is a problem, zip code can be, because it can be biased towards, oh, this is a black neighborhood,
Absolutely.
so like, oh, we should probably charge more and all of that. So
Right.
there is problems with that whole system. But yeah, as I said, you can argue in either direction. I mean, I've been on the end of, not for driving, but for like medical, getting rejected. They're like, oh,
Yep.
like you have pre-existing conditions and that can be anything. Like, it's like, oh, I don't know, your grandma sneezed wrong and broke her hip, and that's a pre-existing condition. Like, it's oversimplifying a little bit, but kind of like that. So yeah,
So
it's I still the invasion of
I just
privacy, that's for me the problem. Like, they're collecting a lot of data on you personally, and who's to say that they can't identify you? They're
Well, and
pretending
so
they
there are a
can't,
couple,
but
there are a bunch of things that bother me about this. One is just sort of the creepy way they went about
Oh yeah.
signing deals with these companies. That's one. Number two is be very careful of any app that you download. Who knows what
Unfortunately,
they're
yeah.
collecting and who they're selling that data to? That also bugs me. So if you're using Gas Buddy because you want to find the cheapest gas, guess what?
Yeah. I mean, but in the case of Gas Buddy, I would say, well, what were you expecting, right?
Right.
No, I mean, I'm
Well,
not kidding. They
especially,
have
yeah,
to
for
do
those
something. They
apps.
have to sell data somehow. They have to
Yeah,
make money
yeah.
somehow.
Right. So if you're not paying for the product, right, what's the old adage?
You are
If
the
you're not
product.
paying for the product, you are the product.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. All right. Well, that was a happy, uplifting story. Sorry for
No,
bringing us down. Patrice,
actually, I thought it was a good story and a fun story.
no, it was a good story.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that data was being collected in that creepy kind of way. So I think I'm actually not using apps that could be collecting that data, at least for Allstate. So at least
As
there's
far as you
that. But
know.
as far as I know, yeah. So I don't use gas price trackers because I just go to Costco for my gas.
That's good.
That's yeah.
Yeah. So really, Costco knows how rarely I need to put gas in my car.
And they know anyway what you're buying because
And yeah, and they know I don't need to put gas in my car very often, and that I tend to buy bananas and oftentimes nothing else.
And the like big jugs of cheese puffs, right?
Right, because I'm all about the big jugs of cheese puffs.
Yes, see, I knew that.
Yeah.
I
And
knew you. Yeah.
then 10 pound jars of peanut butter.
Yes. And
Right.
about 70 pounds of butter.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So now what kind of party is that? Think about
I am, and I feel like it's inappropriate for me to judge.
Okay.
Probably inappropriate, yeah.
Okay. Well, you're the one
Yeah.
buying it, so yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's consenting.
That's true.
So there you go. Everyone's an adult.
That is also, that's
That makes it
good.
okay. Yep. All right.
Speaking of
Patrice, tell
adults.
yeah, tell us about your story.
So I there was a there were a bunch of Microsoft things happening this week. Actually, two Office related. The one I picked. So the Office apps for Windows 10 are ending, so that might be relevant. But for me, the more interesting story is, AI is everywhere, and everybody's forcing AI into anything, whether it makes sense or not. And Microsoft is not an exception. You might or might not be aware of that Microsoft has for a little while already had the Copilot for Office, Copilot Pro, I think it's called, that you could buy for, I think it's $20 a month extra on top of your Office 365 subscription, which is usually, it depends on whether your business or whatever, but like, let's say $100 a year, roundabout. For the family plan, for example. And now Microsoft has decided that, well, what you know what would be better than the people who actually want it buying it for an extra price, shoving it down everybody's throat, and having them mandatory and having a mandatory price increase because you now have AI.
That you have
Right?
to
Whether
opt
you
out
wanted
of.
it or
You
not.
can opt
Yeah.
out of, but
But you have to opt out.
only if you are already a subscriber. If you subscribe like new, or I don't know, you cancel and then a year later you subscribe again, or whatever you do, your credit card expires, you forget, they cancel your subscription and you have to resubscribe, you're paying the higher price and you get the AI stuff, whether you want it or not. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's a
nobody's forcing you to use
wow.
it, to be fair. I'm a little
Just pay
bit,
for it.
you just pay for it. Yeah, so that is Microsoft. The Pro plan is not going away, Copilot Pro. So it's still there. You can always do it. If like you can still like pay for it. You will get newer models, extra features, and so on. Like early access, maybe even to some things and all of that. So it's kind of the lower tier. I think it's like the price increase is not that much. It's like an extra $3 per month. So what is that? It's 36 per year,
36.
something like that. Which is, I mean, if you're paying $100 for your subscription right now, it's a 30% increase, right?
Yeah,
So
it's huge.
36% ish. So it is actually quite a significant increase. And as I said, you can opt out if you are a current subscriber and pay the old price. But Microsoft is also saying, well, other than security updates for how long, we'll see, you're not getting any new features either. So you're basically cut off from anything new. It's like, okay, you either get the increase and get the AI stuff, you don't have to use it, as I said, but take the increase, or you still get security updates where needed, but that's it. That's it. And then for how long?
Wow.
Different question. I mean,
So
Microsoft usually is pretty long with like on their stuff.
I want to get a copy of the recording of the Zoom meeting, product planning Zoom meeting, where this was proposed and everybody said, "Yep, that's a good
Oh,
idea."
that's an easy one. We can just simulate it right now. So, hey, dear Tom, you're the whatever, you're the SVP for office. Hey Tom, I have a really cool idea for you. You know, we have that like Copilot Pro stuff, AI, and AI is everywhere. Everybody wants AI everywhere right now, right? So you know what would be great? We give people the AI stuff, the basics at least. And in like exchange for that, we increase the price by 30 something percent. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Revenue will go up by 30%, right? It's all linear, one to
Perfect.
one.
Exactly, right? So done. Sold. Let's do
Great.
it.
I
Great.
played the yes man in this scenario.
See, perfect. Yeah. So
Who's
this
going to play
exact.
the person who's in the back of the Zoom raising her hand going, "I don't get it."
Well, the great thing
That
is,
person
it's
is
all being
asleep.
done. Yeah, they're asleep. This is all being done over
Teams.
Microsoft Teams.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's right.
So
It's
the
Teams.
person that's saying, wait, this is a bad idea, they keep dropping out.
Well, either that or the unmute button simply isn't working.
Right.
Teams bugs cause massive business decision mistake at Microsoft. News at 11.
No, it's like, yeah. To be fair, Microsoft hasn't raised the prices in about 12 years for Office 365. So, okay. But on the other hand, I'm not sure how much they needed to increase the price. It's not
So
like that
as
enough.
an individual,
30%.
speaking as an individual who pays for Office 365,
Me too.
it's a little bit expensive, but I consider it actually fairly cheap. I still do a little work, a little consulting. I don't write it off. I don't claim it on my taxes, but I need to do PowerPoint and Excel and Word, and sure, I could use LibreOffice or the other open source one.
Mm
But it's a pain, you know, when if I'm talking to a customer I'm consulting with, I don't want to have to hang up, well, my PowerPoint didn't translate correctly and the PPT file is all screwed up. That it's just not worth it. But
Oh,
this
PPT is
endless
old.
PPTX maybe. This
Yeah.
endless shoving of AI into stuff. I don't want it. I don't
Yeah.
need it. I don't want it. It doesn't help me. I'm doing
Mm-hmm.
simple things. And if I wanted it, sure. Offer it to me as an option. Great. If it's useful for me, I'll pay for it. But
Exactly.
don't shove it down my throat.
Yeah, and not everything has to have an AI, right? I mean, to be honest, I think the Office suite is probably a place where it does make sense. Like, I think that I can see a lot of good use cases where that would make sense. Like,
I
I'm
agree
not saying
100%,
this is
100%, but in
probably a good
my,
thing, but like, give people the choice. And I mean, they
give them
did
a
for a
choice.
while, and now they're like, oh no, it's probably a very few people actually want it. So like,
If I
okay,
was
but we need
still
to
work,
show that we're doing it. So let's just
if I was
give it
still working my
to
full-time job, I could probably see lots of good uses for the AI for summaries, getting started with presentations, you know, when I was cranking out 10 presentations a
I
day.
mean, I use it.
But I don't need it now.
I use a ton of AI stuff, not daily, but very, very frequently. And it's like, there's good
So
use cases and there's good things to do with it. It's just, yeah, as I said, like, this is, give it as an option and not as, well, everybody has to have it.
and I have to imagine this doesn't have anything to do with enterprise deals because enterprise customers would not like this sort of a change.
Not so sure. I mean, the contracts are probably a little bit longer running, so they can't just change them. But no, I could see that being done at some point as well, just so that Microsoft can say, well, we have about 10 gazillion AI users in our Office 365 suite, right? Whether so
Yeah.
anybody's actually using it or not, but you know, everybody who could potentially use it is a user.
I mean, if the Microsoft salesperson came to me and said, you know, your 3-year contract is up in 3 months, we're raising the prices by, you know, whatever,
Yeah, maybe it's not
$2 a month
30%,
per
but it's like,
user,
yeah.
because we've added a bunch of stuff, including AI, and here's all the advantage. Okay. That's probably
Yeah,
reasonable.
that's
But
probably how that would happen.
and that's You know, that's it. The majority of their revenue, probably, and profits comes from those enterprise customers. You know,
Yeah,
the
and
individuals
governments,
like
and for
me,
governments it's probably
right?
different. I think those the there Microsoft would have a harder time doing that.
Right.
It's like, hey, we have a tool that sends everything to our cloud.
So I wonder if this is
Like,
just
I'll pay for that.
a Well, it's not the first time these kind of things happen, right? The
No.
enterprise companies selling enterprise software are always looking for justification for raising prices because they want to grow their revenue.
Yeah, of course. And in this case, recurring revenue, because you're paying
Recurring
month to
revenue.
month. I mean, you can buy, I think you can still buy month to month, as far as I know, or year to year, or for enterprises, maybe even longer term contracts. Yeah, but it's recurring revenue.
And you know, Microsoft Office still rules the world.
Oh,
There are people that use.
I just had the
Sorry.
idea why Microsoft is doing that. Isn't Microsoft the company that is trying to resurrect a nuclear power plant like Fuma Island?
Yes, they are going to be the sole client for the
Okay,
power
so
coming from the plant.
here's why they need to pay for that.
There you go.
Done. They have, I don't know, 1 billion subscribers. Probably, I don't know if that's that much, but like a lot of it, at least. If everybody pays $36 more a year, let's say it's 100 million subscribers, everybody pays $36 more. That is, now I'm bad at math, 3.6 billion.
That's a
Oh,
lot of money.
I think so,
Yeah.
if I did the
And
math
which is probably what you
correctly.
need to pay for the power coming from the reactor out of Three Mile Island.
Yeah, so done. See? And then 99% of people don't use it because think about the average office user. Perfect.
Right. I just need to put a PowerPoint together with a bunch of text on every slide.
Exactly. Or the curmudgeon, like I hate AI, I hate everything new, I hate changes, whatever. Like those people, like they're never going to use it. So perfect. They pay for it and they never use it. Like no cost for Microsoft.
Hey, I have a story this week.
Go for it.
Oh,
What is it
wow.
And it's not the story that I planned on. It's a
Oh.
story that popped up for me while we were talking about Microsoft.
Okay.
David Lynch, he died.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah,
Wow.
78. So
Yeah.
this is like fresh news, and they're not saying why he died. But he did announce last year that he had emphysema and he was a heavy smoker.
Yeah.
So it's likely that
Cancer.
has played a role in what
Yeah.
happened. But it's sad because we did lose a visionary filmmaker and storyteller.
Yeah, Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, Twin
Twin
Peaks,
Peaks, yeah. Oh, the
Eraserhead.
classics. Oh, yeah, Eraserhead. I forget about that one. Lots of classics.
Dune was different when he did it.
True.
Yep, got to see Sting in plastic underpants.
It says here in the article he was hired by Mel Brooks's production company to
Oh,
write
yeah.
and direct The Elephant Man. So interesting.
Right, which was a critically acclaimed movie.
Yep, it definitely was.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, definitely had a lot of hits. You could always tell a David Lynch movie, you know, they had that sort of feel, you know, the cinematography and the script.
Yeah, even his stuff that didn't do well, at least critically, you could still tell it was David Lynch. Like Dune, for example. That felt very David Lynch. Yeah. For that one, we knew we were in trouble going into that movie. Because I remember being in line at the theater, and someone went down the line from the theater handing out sheets. So it was 8.5 by 11 sheet printed front and back, and it had all this information on it. So it had the major characters and locations. It was a glossary for the movie. So
He had to
we
explain the
wouldn't get
movie.
completely lost during the movie.
That's a bad sign.
It's
That's
like,
a
who's
bad sign.
that
All right, that's a really bad
again?
sign.
Yeah, that's a bad sign right there. Yep. Yep.
That's funny.
So, anyhow, I guess I don't have a deep story, but you know, David Lynch, kind of bummed to see him gone because I did enjoy his works.
So who is, what newer filmmaker is most like David Lynch?
I don't think you can do that. Nobody is li
Nobody,
most
huh?
like nobody else. Like it's usually everybody
Yeah.
has their
Yeah,
own
it's
thing.
I feel like comparing directly to David Lynch is very difficult. But if you say who is having a unique impact on the film industry, much like David Lynch did, Quentin Tarantino.
Hans
I
Zimmer.
mean, it's very different styles, but it's a profound impact, like David Lynch had a profound impact.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good call.
There's a couple others. I mean, Steven Spielberg definitely had his own
Sure,
thing and
absolutely.
impact. That and Hans Zimmer for music, for sure.
Right, yep. Yep. All right.
R.I.P.
So,
David Lynch.
yeah,
That's too
I
bad.
don't bring stories very often, and when I do, they tend to be short.
Short
All
but
right.
sweet.
Well, on that uplifting note, maybe we should talk about some cool things.
Yes, we
Let's do
should.
some cool things.
I have to grab mine, and I forgot to grab the link for it. Should we talk about the chat room in the meantime? Well, actually, I have to talk about
we
the
should,
chat room.
Actually. Okay. We really should.
Yeah, and, we should talk about the chat room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrice, since you're clearly far better at this than I am, far more competent, you mind?
I don't mind at all. So we have a really, I'll make it a quick this time. We have a really cool live chat or live streaming system. It's kind of like the YouTube live stream or Twitch or whatever. You have the video and you have the chat on the side. All of that, you can get notifications, all of that. But the cool thing about ours is, one, we host it ourselves. Two, it is a Fediverse thing. So if you are on Mastodon, PixelFed, I think even Threads should work nowadays. Blue Sky, I'm not so sure about. Some others, there's a bunch of others. If you have any of that, it works. Like, you can subscribe to the notifications from it, for like Mastodon, for example, and get notified when we start streaming. It's very cool. It's called Owncast, that's a tool. And all you have to do if you want to watch us, you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com. Easy as that. And then there is the live stream, there is a chat on the site, you get automatically assigned a really fun name. And yeah, that's it. And if you want to change your name, the little purple thing up top, the drop down thingy, click it, change name, pick a name. You can even authenticate. It's not authorize, yeah, it's authenticate. I should know that. With your Fediverse account, it sends you a kind of a code, and you put it into a box, chat box, the input box, whatever, in the system, and then that's it. Yeah, so, and then start typing. Like, there's no, it's really easy. Like, just, there's a box, type in text, words, mouth, all of that, and then hit send. Like, super easy. So that's how you do it. We record live every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, and 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. So if you want to hear about Apple and what they're doing, because we usually are banned from talking about Apple on this show, every now and then something might slip in, like a word or two, but it's absolutely banned to talk about Apple in any longer form on this show. Except for that one time when Jeff confused the shows and then talked about Linux on a Mac the entire time. But, yeah.
I'm just a rebel.
You're a rebel, yes. That you definitely are. So, yeah. Whenever that time is on your side. But if you're listening to this in the recorded form as a podcast, in your favorite podcast player of choice, you're like, oh, or on the website, britishtechnetwork.com, you can also watch it there. Watch it or listen to it, then you're of course can't join the live stream anymore because that's done. We do have a transcript. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. There's a calendar. Pick a date. If you pick today's date, January 19th, 2024, then you will see the awesome article that Tom posted and also the cool thing that he just put in and that I'm going to let him talk about now.
Thank you for doing that, Patrice. You rock. Tom, tell us about your cool thing, which I just started looking at, and this is actually deliciously, maliciously cool.
Deliciously. This is a fun, cool thing. Somebody had posted about this on Mastodon, and it's a tool, I guess, called Nepenthes. And basically what it is intended to do is screw up scrapers, mostly AI scrapers, by mucking with your robots.txt and basically creating a maze of links to screw up the scrapers. That's, I think, the gist of it. I thought the idea was just most creative, fun idea I've heard about in a long time. And I think it's a reaction to a lot of the AI scrapers that are ignoring the robots.txt or the AI equivalent. I forget the other file name. They're just ignoring it, which is a piss poor way of behaving on the internet. So So creating a tool like this running on your server, it apparently can suck up a lot of CPU. I'm not sure I recommend you actually do it. So read, if you want to check it out, be very careful and read about it and make sure you're clear about what it may or may not do to your system. But I love the idea of just sort of thumbing your nose at these, move fast and break things AI people. So doing this is great. I think also the people that are generating gibberish content to screw up AI scrapers is also pretty fun.
Yeah, I did notice this has the ability to do that as well.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that there's a
don't put this on a
Markov
site that's
babbler
important
in
for
there.
you. Yes.
A Markov babbler. That's funny.
I mean, I get, the downside is it'll screw up sort of legit, putting double quotes, legitimate scrapers like, Google search and stuff too. So if you want to, if you're into trying to make money on your site, you probably don't want to run this.
No, I think this is the sort of thing you would use if you're setting up a site specifically to screw with LLM
Right.
scrapers.
Right.
Yeah, you can't
Right.
do that.
Which.
No, you can't. Like, there is no that because all web crawlers will visit your website if you want it indexed, and I mean, this can't differentiate between the two.
Right. So what my what I'm trying to say very poorly is if you want to use something like this, it's because you have a specific intent
That's true. Yeah,
to
you're not trying to
screw
make
with
money off your
LLMs, but
website.
there's
Yeah,
side
right.
effects.
Yeah,
It's
right.
not something you're just going to toss onto your company website
Right.
for
Not
fun.
unless you wanted to your company website to be removed or disappear from any search engine.
Right.
But
You're like if you're like the NSA, and you're like, I don't want to be on Google's index anyway. Oh, so sure,
Right.
install this. All good.
Or if you're a retired person who needs a hobby and the tea light thing didn't work out, you could just create websites.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Yes.
maybe you can make a tea light network that has enough horsepower to run this.
But like,
And you can tell when the LLM scrapers hit it because the little
Lights are
candlelight starts
glowing.
flickering.
Oh, you're gonna have a disco at home because they're hitting you
You'll have a
all the time.
disco. Yep.
Every
Yeah.
time a
No,
bot
but
hits your site, a tea light goes off. I love
But like one example is if you have, I don't know, you have some, I don't know, some wiki for yourself or for like your friends,
Right.
and no, like you don't, nobody ever is gonna go to a search engine and go to your page because that's just not what it's for. You
And
don't
you may
even
not want
care about
people to
that.
find it.
Well, you
Right.
might not want to find them, and you might not care about that if someone does find it. It's like,
Right.
it's not what it's for. It's just for my friends, and we know exactly where to go. Like our, like I don't know, our live stream page. Right? Let's take it as an example. It's a bad example because we actually want it to be found. But let's say we were like, hey, I mean, everybody, like it's linked on our website. Everybody knows to go there. That we need to we don't want LLMs to scrape it. So we install this, and then it disappears from the search engine. And we're like, so what? Like, big deal.
Right.
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 So that's what it's for. I said live page is a bad example because we actually want that. But
So I didn't know, I couldn't find if there was a name associated with this to give this person credit. I didn't find it, but and maybe they want to remain anonymous. But if I could find a name, I'd give him or her a
it
shout out.
seems to be the person that runs this page, so it should be Aaron. Aaron is, I guess, is the name for the guy.
Oh, you found it.
Yeah, site information. You just click on site information. That's you get to
Oh,
a
okay.
very blank
There you
page. The
go.
administrator of the site is Aaron. At
Okay.
Z
Thanks,
zero.
Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
And Nepenthes, bet that's a reference to Star Trek.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
Because
Picard.
there's a place in Big Sur called Nepenthe. I thought it was
Ah, maybe,
related to that.
okay, could also be. That could also be. But for me, it's a Star Trek reference. There is a planet called
Okay.
Nepenthe, so.
Oh, okay. It's a Star Trek
Yeah,
thing.
yeah.
Okay.
So
Cool.
maybe
Thanks,
that's where
Aaron.
Star Trek got it from, because it's fairly recent, so. All right, cool. Oh, should I
Cool.
throw my cool thing in? I forgot.
Sure.
So there it is. So it is, and I'm gonna unpack that. I have it here. in front of me.
Ooh.
So Ooh. This it's in this case. So let me get this out. It's a microphone I bought over Christmas. So it's the Rode NT USB Mini. I was this was one of, I mean, funny story. This was one of those stories. I was traveling to like Portugal to Lisbon before Christmas, and Monday morning at like 9 was my flight, and like Sunday night I was like, and I was staying there for like 2 weeks or something, and Sunday night I was like, hey, I really want to see if we can't do like some podcast over Christmas, and maybe Jeff is available. And we had plans actually to record a lot over Christmas because we both had time. Didn't end up that yet because of other stuff that then happened, but that was kind of the plan at least. And I was like, and I had just edited an episode where I used my AirPods Pro for podcasting, and the audio quality was not as good. I don't want to say bad, but it was not as good. You could definitely tell. And I was like, I kind of want a travel mic for podcasting. So it should be good quality, but it should also be compact, so I can throw it in a backpack or in a suitcase, whatever. And I Googled a little bit and read it or whatever, and I found this microphone, the Rode NT USB Mini. And it's actually really good. It comes with this little stand and like a USB-C to USB-A cable, I think. It has on the back a USB-C port and a headphone jack. Well, you can, if you want, enable what I always do, the direct feedback. So you basically hear what the microphone is picking up. What I have right now is always this one. Some people don't like that. You can disable it. And it also feeds the audio from the Mac back. As I said, the base is, this is magnetic. So the arm is basically attached to the top, and the base is magnetic. I think there's a thread in there. And you can even attach it to something. But it's actually quite heavy, which is good because like you don't want this to move around when you're recording all the time. So this is quite hefty, but it's like super easy. You can take this apart and just like put it. I bought recommendation from Jerry. I bought a little case for that I can throw it in, and then I can travel with it. So nice. Really good, and the quality is actually pretty good. I only ended up doing, I think, one podcast in total. I think it was Mac Voices? No, In Touch with iOS, I think. But I ended up doing at least one, but I used it for work as well. Like when I was in the office there, I simply, like I do it here, I have this mic. I just use this mic for all my meetings, and it was really good. Actually, we used it once even for like a bigger group setup. I put it on a table, and it actually was surprisingly good that it picked up everybody. Like in a big conference room table, it was actually able to pick everything up. So it is quite sensitive. I had to dial down the sensitivity when I was recording myself.
Can you make it directional?
Don't think so, but I'm honestly not sure. It might be that what I haven't done, that there's like a app for it and you can change settings. I haven't needed that. It's possible that you can do that, but there's at least no switch for that. There's a little dial thing here for the audio output for your headphones. That's it. And it's actually a button so that you can disable the direct throughput basically. So yeah, and it's not expensive.
I'm looking at the specs. Directional cardioid pattern, polar pattern.
Yeah, but cardio, it's still cardioid. So
yeah.
Yeah. So as I said, we were sitting with like a couple people around the conference room, and they could hear everybody. So maybe it was just because of the way the room is set up. I don't know, but it was possible. And it was not expensive. I there was a sale when I bought it.
Yeah.
It was like, I bought it for like, I want to say 75 euros maybe, or 70 euros.
Wow.
With taxes. So this is typical here. So
yeah, that's a good price.
Good price. And as I said, Rode microphone. They have a bigger model, the NT USB Plus, which has supposedly slightly better audio quality, but is also bigger. And I thought about getting that one, and I had kind of talked myself into that one, but then the store I went to, because of, you know, I was traveling, so it's like Amazon order to Austria, not gonna arrive in time because I'm leaving in like, I don't know, 6 hours or 8 hours or something. And I could have shipped it to Portugal, but there's no Amazon in Portugal. I could have had to ship there, but then that takes over Christmas, especially however long. So that's probably too late. So I was like, I'll just see if there's a store locally. There was a really cool, really like kind of a DJ store and filled to the brim. Best place I've ever seen, filled to the brim with like everything you need. And they
Wow,
have
that's
this one,
cool.
but not the other one. At least not in stock. I could have ordered it within a couple of days. I could have had that, but I'm like, no, I want it now. And I anyway kind of wanted this one over the other one. So perfect. So
Did the DJ store have tea lights?
I should have next time I'm there because I'll probably be back. It was a really cool store and a really nice guy. If you're in Lisbon or if you have any area and you need something, let me know. I can tell you where it is. It's like an old kind of little. It's not a mall, but it's like a little. There's like a little shopping area, and it looks from the outside like nothing. It's like, oh, this looks like, I don't know. Is there a shopping place here? And there's like in the building, and then there's like literally just they had a desk, a computer on it, and like some boxes stacked, no decorations or whatever, and then shelves, top to bottom, everything covered in anything you need. It's like
Wow.
drumsticks, cables, microphones, Bluetooth speakers, like whatever you need, like just there, just
That sounds like a fun
great.
place.
Guitar picks, like whatever you need, like anything DJs or musicians would need. There was like a dad with his kid, and they bought like a bunch of stuff in front of me. And yeah, set and really nice guy.
Very cool. All right. So now it's my turn, and I'm picking something that I'm guessing no one would have thought I would pick.
Lego?
No,
Wow.
not today.
How is that?
Baseball
No, I'm
gear?
actually picking a
Wait a second.
book.
Are you sick?
Yeah, where's the real Jeff? What have you done with me?
Oh,
So
that
here's my pick. Think of it as the internet reference in your pocket. And it's called Pocket Ref, and it's from Thomas Glover. And this is a book that a lot of tech focused people already know about, because it's full of all kinds. It's a pocket reference guide.
Mm-hmm.
For everything.
So it has everything in it. You need measurements, you need conversions, you need weights, you need phone numbers for basically every airport in the world. Perpetual calendar. I mean, it's full of just a crazy amount of information in in this tiny, tiny little book. And you can get it for like $12, and like Amazon has it right now for $11.91. And you want the little paperback one, because, well, first, it's a $12 book, and you can take it with you everywhere if you need to. But if you go for the hardback version, it's like $130 to get this book in hardback.
Wow.
So like just flip it open to whatever. Okay. Torino Asteroid Comet Destruction Scale. Okay. Zero on the scale, the likelihood of a collision is zero or well below the chance that a random object the same size will strike Earth within the next few decades. Let's see. This designation also applies to any small object to reach the Earth's surface intact. It goes all the way up to nine, and a nine is a collision capable of causing regional destruction. Such events occur but once between 1,000 and 100,000 years.
Is there also a Jeff scale? That's the question.
That's a good question. Well, let me check the index. Is there a Jeff scale?
But
But
it does have various pipe friction loss tables.
yeah, it does. Like, okay, so I just opened up to another page.
is great.
This one is about fine inch-threaded carbon steel bolts. Your bolt size, your threads,
Okay.
clamping
That is
force,
random.
standard dry torque, electrical motor frame dimensions.
So, Jeff, how do you look stuff up in the book? Is it
You
well?
just open a random page and start reading, right? That's how you do
Open a random page of
it.
like here, saber saw blades, teeth per inch, three. That's for lumber up to 6 inches thick, fast cutting, very rough cut, good ripping blade. So in the front, it has section, it tells you what each section is. Miles per gallon fuel chart. Man, this is multi pages long, just the miles per gallon fuel chart. But then at the back, and you can see I've put a little green tab here. That so I can go right to the index.
Oh, there's an
Oh,
index.
that's
Okay.
smart.
Yeah. And so if there's something I want to look up, I start with the index. And yes, you can look up all this stuff on the internet, but there are times where it's actually substantially faster for me to pick up the book, look at the index,
Definitely.
find the thing, and then I've got the information, and I didn't have to weed through pages full of websites that have the right keywords, but maybe don't actually have the information that I want, or it's trying to throw tracking cookies in on me, and all I needed to know was the torque on some th whatever, something about the gauge of a wire or whatever.
Yeah,
So.
you didn't have to go to a web page and skip six paragraphs of introductory information to find out what the thread count
Right, and close five pop-ups.
Close five
At
pop-ups,
least.
yeah.
And buy
So it says.
and offers to buy their awesome newsletter course or something.
Right. And and it's just this tiny little
It
thing.
says
And
it's in its, this is the fourth edition. Do you know when it was originally published?
I don't know when he started doing this. Yeah, I don't know when the first edition came out. But I learned about this book years ago, when Mythbusters was in its original
Oh.
run. And the guy that looks a
So
lot
mid
like me, Adam
early
Savage,
yeah, early to mid
yeah.
2000s.
Yeah, he was referencing this, like it would be sitting out on the workbench, and they're working on something, and he's like, "Oh, I need to know whatever," and boom, he picks it up and he flips
I
through, and he's like,
remember that.
"Oh, okay."
Yes, I do remember
And
that.
it was this book. Oh, look! Holy crap! How to tie different knots.
It was originally published in 1989.
Okay. So okay, so I guess each time it gets updated, it has new information. And so last time it was updated was in 2010.
So 20 years
And
updates, that's better than an iPhone.
yeah, and I don't have to recharge it.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. By the way, live breaking news. I didn't know that, and I just learned something. Tim Allen has a new show. Shifting
Oh,
Gears. Just started January 8th. It's on
with
Hulu.
Kat Denning.
Yes, it's on Hulu. So
The
there
only
goes
reason I
my
know about
evening.
it, yeah, there's your evening. Only reason I know about it is because I've spent a lot of time with my parents over the past several weeks, and they watch live television,
Ooh.
commercial television,
Wow.
like animals.
Like
And
animals. Like
that
animals.
was one of the shows that was being promoted.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I missed that completely.
On
Thank you,
Hulu.
GB Redneck. Like in the Slack room. Wow. That is cool.
All right. So, yeah, I guess it's time to wrap up. So I want to know where we can find both of you, but first I want to say thank you first for being so tolerant of me, because look at this hot mess going on. But seriously, it's just so much fun to get to hang out with you. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I am here on the Big Show and on the Mac Show on the British Tech Network every week, except for the weeks when I'm traveling and usually can't do it. So, in about 2 weeks, that's going to happen again. Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays. Everything I'm doing, social media links, podcast, project, literally everything, you can find on our website, thepatrice.com will take you there. And I have a really cool show with a certain Jeff Gamet. Never heard of the guy, right? Who?
Nope.
Jeff who? I never heard of him. And I always like to show the awesome mug that we both have now. Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. We're in the middle of, well, we just finished, published at least, season one of Stargate SG-1. We did a recap. There is a little clip show coming up. I just have to post it tomorrow. And then we will jump into season two. And it's a lot of fun. I can tell you that.
It is a lot of fun. I'm glad we're doing that show.
Me too. It's always, it's like every time we're like, whatever. We had a couple episodes where we're like, oh, there's nothing to talk about here. It's like, whatever, yeah, it's boring. And then we're like, 2 hours later.
Yep. This little be fast, 2 hours
yes.
later. Yeah, my retro rewatch mug is in the dishwasher right now.
Oh.
But at least I have other mugs to fall back on.
That is true. And they're really cool too. So, but not as cool as this one.
No, and everything tastes better in a retro rewatch mug.
It does. That it does.
That has been scientifically proven. I think that's actually in the Pocket Reference as well.
Oh, okay. We should see. We should look that up. Late.
Tom, where can people find you?
Speaking of mugs, people can find me on...
I see what you did there.
People can find me on Mastodon. I am tomf@sfba.social. And I would like to make one small comment about our predictions for this year. I made a prediction related to Sonos, fixing a simple bug. And since that prediction, the CEO resigned, the chief product officer resigned.
But resigned or was let go? You know, it's hard to tell, right?
Chief marketing officers, like half the C-suite or more than half the C-suite resigned.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think it was the pressure from the big show that caused them all to resign.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because, you know, they listen.
They're like, oh my God, no, like we have to quit. We're never gonna make that.
Okay.
How about you?
I guess I need to tell. Yeah, I'll tell people where to find me. All right, social media. I'm Jay Gamet pretty much everywhere. I'm active on Mastodon, and I'm experimenting with transitioning from Instagram to pixelfed.social. I'm working on getting more active on Blue Sky, but any of the socials. Look for Jay Gamet. That's probably me. And we'll see how many of the big name ones actually stick with. So in the end, it might just be I'm Mastodon and Pixel Fed, and that's it. So all right, then for shows Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursday, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the Big Show. Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and Patrice already mentioned that we do Retro Rewatch. And with that, well, what a fun show. I am so glad we are back, and I get to hang out with both of you. Amazingly wonderful people, and everyone else that joins us. Depending on the week, I love that we all get to spend that time together. So thank you very much. And all of you that watch and listen live, thank you for being here. Everyone that participates in the live chat, thank you for doing that. All of you that watch or listen to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And speaking of those shows, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show, and then come back again next Thursday for the Big Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.